Father, we ask you for your wisdom. We ask you for your understanding. And I pray that I would only say what you want me to say, but I pray that you would give me the right words to help explain and help people in this hour to see what's really going on behind the scenes, and that we're not deceived by the things that are happening in the world. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. The first thing I want to talk about a few things. We want to talk about the Tower of Babel. And at the end, we want to talk about the New Order. I haven't talked about that for a long time, but I want to share a few things about the New Order. We'll talk about that. But remember when I talked about this before, in order for the New Order to come, the old has to come down. And they said they would bring it down piece by piece. So we're seeing things happening piece by piece, and things are definitely speeding up. But the first thing I want to talk to is about coming out of deception. Some of us have been in these movements, and some still are. Some of your family is still there. They're stuck in these systems, these movements. And I want to talk about when you start coming out. Because when you start seeing things, you're going to be shaken. Everything that you've given to, you believe for, all these different things, you're going to find out. Some of us, we've been in false doctrine. And our hearts were right. We meant well. But the people we were following were not teaching the Bible. They were quoting scriptures. There's a difference between quoting scriptures and teaching the Bible, because that way they can just take out certain things, add on different things, and make things sound totally different. And as a result, many people aren't serving the Lord today because they got disillusioned in those movements. So I wrote this today, and I want to read it to you. Coming out of deception or wrong teaching, first of all, it's a process. It just doesn't happen. And just because I know that word of faith was bad now, but most people don't know how to come out of it. They've been so conditioned in it. So it's a process. And once you see some of the false teachings, you have to know, okay, this isn't something I can just jump out overnight. It's work. It's, first of all, confusing. It's painful, and it's lonely at times. Because as you come out of these movements, the New Apostolic Reformation, the prophetic movement, all these different united religion movements, you're going to feel lonely, because as you start seeing things and your eyes are open, things are going to start shaking. And I want to talk about the shaking, because to lay a correct foundation for your faith, we don't want to fall for the end time winds of doctrine. We need to ask the Lord to open our eyes and be ready to be shaken. You've got to let go everything that's not of the Lord, everything that you've been taught that's not of Him. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but the things of God will not be shaken. The kingdom of God is not of this world, but as we read the Bible and we study and we know truth, that can't be taken from us. But some of this other stuff, we're going to find out some things. We're going to see the manipulation and the controlling leadership of some of our churches. We're going to see maybe they were deceived. We can't judge their heart, but we have to look at doctrine. And we're going to see the manipulation, the guilt. A lot of these things, as we come out, we're going to say, wow, I was really manipulated and controlled. Others, you're going to never thought to question. You never ever thought to even question anything you've been taught. The teaching that you sat under, you just believed that they were telling you the truth. Like I did. I just thought these people were going to heaven and having visions, and they came out of those visions. One in particular that was kind of my father in the faith, and he'd come out of these visions. I mean, who are you to question a prophet of God when Jesus appears to them all the time? Well, I used to fall for that. They quoted scriptures, but they never taught the Bible. I want to say that over and over again. They quoted scriptures, but they never taught the whole Bible. We're supposed to teach the whole counsel of God. To others, the breakthrough never came. You're going to give this, this is your season of breakthrough. Your breakthrough is coming. And the breakthrough never came. And our difficult circumstances didn't change either. The formula didn't work. So, well, maybe this season it's your breakthrough. We just kept hearing the same things over and over for breakthrough. For others, you never got to that next level. It's that next level. Or you never had encounters like everybody else you knew. Everybody else had encounters. And then others of you, you started comparing what your leaders taught to what the Bible really taught, like scriptures that they threw out and wouldn't look at, and you started questioning the context of some of these verses and who they were writing to, what they were saying, and you started challenging the people that taught this, and all of a sudden now you're a threat to that system and you need to be silenced. Sometimes you're asked to leave. You have become a threat that needs to be silenced. The shaking is never pleasant, but when we come out of these things, it's necessary. We have to be shaken. We have to realize we've been deceived, not willfully. We didn't choose to be deceived, but we came into some systems when we got saved that were already established and in place, and we didn't question them. Now we're coming out, and we look like the weirdo. You look like the nut that needs to be cracked or something because you're questioning everything. So that's normal. When you come out of these movements and you exit these new apostolic movements, the shaking, the pain, the loneliness, the struggles are normal. And thank God, because your eyes are opening to real truth. And usually man instead of Christ was exalted. Usually man was elevated. These prophets were lifted up on high. You don't question them. They're anointed, and you don't question. You don't touch the anointed. So we sat under these teachings, and we started to worship what men said. And so then we have to judge ourselves. Were our ears being tickled? Did we have something inside of us that gravitated us to power, to wealth? Did we want fame? What was it that attracted us to those kind of ministries? And these movements, it was never enough. You didn't give enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't attend enough. You didn't sing long enough. You sang. It was just like nothing was ever quite enough. And why was that? Because it was the yoke of man that was placed on us, not the Spirit of God. Now, the good thing of this shaking, now is gone the striving to get a new anointing, the striving to get a prophetic word. We now trust in Christ and what he's already spoken. We realize we've already been anointed. You don't have to run after somebody else's anointing. You are anointed. 1 John 2:20 says you are anointed. We don't need a new revelation or the latest released word to the body of Christ. What's that prophet saying? Let's have a prophetic round table and find out what all the new words are. That's from Brother Mystic, Sister Mystic. In 2 Timothy 3:16, this is shaking because we're getting rid of the voices of men and we're coming back to the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, all of it, not just certain verses, are profitable for teaching, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete. What makes you complete? The Bible is going to strengthen us in the days that are ahead. And I talked about this is the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end. It's the beginning of sorrows. We're seeing darkness come in under the umbrella of this is for your safety. There's a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes. And even this political circus that we're seeing is a distraction. Yes. In a chess game, it's a distraction. Yes. For what's really happening behind the scenes. And you have to know the bird is going in one direction, but it has two heads. And you have to know that the jab is coming. They want this to come. This is both sides of the aisle want this mandatory end time event, which is very serious. I'm not going to get into that, but you have to know that there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes that have been planned for a long, long time. So these movements, what do they really do? They lack the fear of God. How can you whip up an audience to give or to do all this or these prophetic words? They're not. Some of them are definitely deceived, but they don't have the fear of God. And their regular trips to heaven and their daily encounters reveal they really are a new breed. They talk about being a new breed. I think I should stay away from that breed. We now have a new generation of Babel builders. They believe they can bring heaven to earth. You're going to start hearing this all over the waves, the teachings on different platforms of bringing heaven to earth. That is a lie. You cannot bring heaven to earth. You die and you have to. But this is the teaching. They believe they can bring heaven to earth. This is a great delusion, and it's very man-centered doctrines. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So we see these systems, and even these political systems, you have to know, we are not to love this world, the things of the world, because there's a lot of corruption, and there's a lot of so much going on behind the scenes. So here in chapter 11 of Genesis 11, we're looking at the Tower of Babel for just a second here. But as you're turning there in Genesis 6, well, let's look there too. There's just so many good things. Genesis 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And it repented him that he'd made them." In verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because Noah walked with the Lord." But verse 11, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." And the Bible says in the end times, as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The days of Noah, the earth was filled with violence. What shall we see in the end times? We're going to once again see violence, I hate to say. Verse 13, "It filled, the Lord said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now in 11:1, this was after the flood. So there came a great flood because of the wickedness of man. God promised there would never not be another flood. But in verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." There's a difference there. The language, they all spoke the same language, but they were thinking the same thoughts, and it was evil. In verse 4, "They said, Go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name." Right here is a red flag. When people are trying to make a name for themselves, this is the Tower of Babel. Now, Babel means a gate or a portal to God. They were building a gate to God. They were trying to go so high that they saw the flood and they didn't want that to happen. So now they were going to take matters in their own hands. And they had the city here of Babylon. And Babylon is a picture of a prostitute in Revelation 17:1, with whom the kings of the earth committed adultery. So they said, "Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth." And what did the Lord do? Verse 5, "He came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one." Get this, because I want to talk about this. The oneness, the unity, the Tower of Babel that is being presented before us once again, oneness. "And they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do, because they're one and they were evil and they were putting all their heads together, doing things that they imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech." Think about that. Now, on TV, they have a commercial for a speech course. It's called Babel. Man trying to get back to where they're not supposed to be again. We want to all go to that same place that God destroyed. Verse 9, "Therefore, it is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So here we see They were trying to build this tower. They were going to do it in their own strength. And they were going to make their own gate to God. Well, the Bible says there's only one portal, one gate to God, and refers to Jesus as the door or the gate, the narrow gate, the narrow road. Well, this whole unity, oneness, let's all get back to oneness, one faith, all religions are the same. We're seeing the Tower of Babel once again being built. John 10, 1 through 10, if you climb through some other way, you are a thief or a robber. So we come through making Jesus our Lord. The Bible says that he speaks now through his son Jesus. So Jesus is the Word and him are one. But there is an Antichrist plan for a one world religion. And we're seeing this being played out now. We're on the edge of it. I was telling all of you to watch for this, watch for this. Well, some things have happened behind the scenes. And let's look here. It was also given to him in Revelations 13, 7, 8, the Antichrist plan for a one religion. It was also given to him to make war with the saints. I don't like this scripture. And to overcome them. So we know at some point there's going to be a war against Christianity because the Bible tells us. He said it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. Now think about this. God is greater, but he's allowing this to happen. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written in the foundation of the world, in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. So if we're born again, we ask Jesus into our heart, we're written in the Lamb's book of life. But if you're not, what does it say? The Antichrist system come into being and people will start, just like in the Old Testament. We were talking about Daniel today. Daniel stood in the midst of everyone else worshiping false gods. He stood and he kept on worshiping. He stayed faithful. He stayed true to God. For Satan to rule the earth, he must not only put all the governments together and currencies. We're talking about the one world currency, the digital cashless society. But he's also got to put together the belief systems. One world religion as a cornerstone of the plan. The long-term strategy, this has been a long-term. This has not just come into being, but this has been a long-term plan of the Antichrist. It's to splinter a religion into sects on the divide and conquer principle. The way the enemy, and anyone, if you divide somebody, you conquer them. He wants to divide us against other religions as far as hate, hating each other. We're not to hate anybody. People have a free choice, but he wants us to divide and conquer our neighbors, fight over this, fight over that, fight over this. If you're this group, this race, and he's doing a good job at stirring up things and trying to get everyone to hate their neighbor. And now turn in your neighbor, just like they did in Germany. So he wants to divide and conquer. In our hearts, we just refuse to give into hate. We refuse to get into all this stuff that's going on. Another plan of the Antichrist is to assault the religion's foundations. Remember I told you watch out for scandals because they're going to put somebody up and then they love to take them down. They build somebody up, make a huge mega ministry, and then there's a scandal. How many Christians are affected by that? Don't get your eyes on men in this hour. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's never had a scandal. He never will. Men will fail you. But some of these people, I think, have been put in those positions for a time such as this. Assault the religion's foundations, creating doubts among believers. And then we have the merging church, the emergent church, where everything is merging because the Bible is irrelevant. We now have a new generation that needs different social gospels, and everything has to change, they say. So assault the religion foundations, creating doubts among believers. Finally, herd the remnants together with other religions. Put all the religions together, and it's called ecumenism. Notice that word men in the middle. So 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Let no minister, let no politician, let no anybody deceive you. So he's going to tell you right here that deception is going to be worldwide. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He does not say there's going to be a great revival. That's not in the Bible. The Bible talks about a great falling away, which is another word. It's called apostasy. Who opposes and exalteth himself, verse 4, above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple. Here's a clue right here, sitting in the temple. What's being built right now? Showing himself that he is God. This falling away has to happen, but it doesn't have to be you. Falling away, people fall away. Now that they're not meeting in some places, people are just, they could care less. It's just like, don't you know you're going to need your faith in this hour? The real faith, not the false, fake faith we've been taught in ourselves. You're going to have faith in what Jesus said. You're going to have real, true faith. So this falling away, apostasy means to depart from, to lead astray, to seduce, mislead, to blind the eyes of. God's people are being blinded right now. The people, by manipulating the truth. Again, they quote scriptures, but they don't read and teach the whole Bible. To turn one from the truth by lying signs and wonders. So these movements, these revivals are going to have signs and wonders, so they say. I've seen a few things on YouTube and can't believe it, how weird things are getting. How people are proclaiming. This one guy today said, I am Jesus. Jesus, and he's a big guy from the Word of Faith. I and Jesus are one. I'm Jesus here now. I'm like, wow. So then they say they have signs and wonders. So they just take scriptures out of context. So the Bible says that a wicked and perverse generation seeketh after signs. You just run from one meeting to the next seeking something. We all did that back in the day. We need to shake out of that. It doesn't matter what the big box preachers teach. Now, we know what the big box stores are, the corporate stores. Well, there's also big box preachers. I hate to tell you. They're probably run by the same people. It doesn't matter what the big box preachers teach on TV and other platforms. God's truth does not change. It does not progress. It does not evolve, or it doesn't go to another level. And you have to ask yourself, does this new revelation that's being taught, this new apostolic decreeing I heard yesterday, sometimes I make myself listen to these people so I know what's going on, that the new apostles are decreeing and declaring things. Does it add to the Bible? Does it take away from the Bible? Yes. The Bible says we're not supposed to do that. Now, this is a story I've told before. I want to say it again. Remember, Jesus is not going to come back until there's a falling away, a huge apostasy. For generations leading up to the 60s, Coke was the number one soft drink in America. Pepsi decided to target the younger generation. So by the 80s, Pepsi was taking off and they were number one. They started ruling in the market. They'd get people like Michael Jackson and do commercials on TV, and he was hip and he was cool, and you know, let's put that brand out there. To target the younger generation and regain ground, the Coca-Cola, they were getting really threatened by Pepsi, so they put out a new Coke. It was sweeter. And they did big promotions, propagandas, introducing it as the new taste of Coca-Cola. Well, it was a risk, and it was also a very big mistake. The Coke fans hated it. They wanted the old formula and didn't want it to change. They had a huge backlash. Coke admitted by changing the formula, it wasn't the real thing. They had compromised and changed. Coke apologized nationally, pulled new Coke off the shelves, and brought back the original formula under the classic Coke. When you have a classic, you don't change. When you have a classic, when you have the Bible, it doesn't need to change. It doesn't need to progress. It doesn't need to evolve. It doesn't need to merge. We have the real thing. We have the classic. When you have a classic, you don't change. because of the pressure of a new generation. Oh, the new generation, they don't want to hear. They're the unchurched, so we have to change the message. We have to give them a new formula. Our calling is to stick to the classic. Have the biblical doctrines, the classic doctrines, such as salvation by grace, repentance, and the reality of a real hell, been changed in order to have a new Coke? Who are we to change the message? The new evangelicals, the new prophets and apostles, they want experience, they want experiences, and they want feelings. And they want entertainment. And what they call worship, I have no words for what they're worshiping. But they're calling entertainment over truth. The merging emergent church movement is a complete redefinition of Christianity. It's changing it. They're bringing in new formulas. They're bringing in new men. Everything has been infiltrated. The authority of the Bible is questioned. It's not for today. That's just a myth. That's just a story. They're coming after what the Antichrist said. He was going to make the people doubt the authority of Scripture. They say sin and evil don't exist. Peace and love are the ultimate realities as we all unite. Now, I believe it was in September. The Abraham Accord peace agreement was signed. Did you hear that? The Abraham Accord peace agreement was signed. Israel, Egypt, Islam, and Christians. The one world religion. The peace agreement. And this is the quote from our president. A future in which people of all faiths and backgrounds live together in peace and prosperity. What is ecumenicalism? What is ecumenism? It's create a Christianity which embraces all the religions. What is this? The Tower of Babel. We are all one. We're coming back to the Tower of Babel, Babylonian, the mystery Babylon. Just a little bit more. Ecumenism is the essential in creating a Christianity which embraces all religions. Psychology plays a major ecumenical role by providing a common faith, common language, and a ritual for everyone, from atheists, cultists, and occultists to Roman Catholics to evangelical. Unquote. That was in the book Mystery Babylon. Wow. We're seeing this. Before our very eyes, we're seeing the Tower of Babel. Babylon, Mystery Babylon. The ancient wisdom of Babylon is rising, not the Bible. The example, just give you a couple examples. Al Gore, in his book, Earth in the Balance, believes we should have a mother goddess that we can worship. He points back to ancient religions and Hinduism, and we should worship Mother Earth, that man and nature are one, that God is part of nature and nature is part of God. On page 258 and 259 of his book, he says, he departed from the Baptist faith and entered into the New Age religion. Wow. Here we are, the one world religion, the Babylonian Empire is being built. Everything signed, decreed. And lastly, I want to share something I've shared a long time ago. But I want to kind of say it in a different way and bring it up again because of what's happening in our world today. 1969, I did a couple of teachings on Dr. Richard Day. And I believe you still can find his stuff on YouTube. Dr. Richard Day, he was an admitted insider, and he delivered an invitation-only lecture about the new world system that was coming, in which he defined the changes. And are we seeing changes? Okay, this was 1969, and he said the following. Travel restrictions will occur. It will be considered a privilege to travel. We used to travel just all back and forth. We're coming in a day now that you're going to have to be jabbed to be traveling, especially international. We just saw that. It's going to be considered a privilege. People will need permission and a good reason to travel. This is still quoting from him, an under-the-skin implantation device will be developed, coded specifically to identify each individual to accommodate government surveillance through radio signals. More airplane and auto accidents, he said, will occur, contributing to a general feeling of insecurity. You have to have the mind of an antichrist to even understand these changes, because we don't understand how wicked the evil one is in his plans to depopulate and to destroy what God created. Everything that God made has to change. Even the food we eat is going to be, they want it to be lab grown. Today I heard something about your own cells. You can make your own meat, lab grown kits. It was in the New York Times or something. Crazy stuff that you, it's like, who even can go there? We already have some of this meat around. It's not real meat. Taco Bell, they said, used to be 4% meat. They've changed it now. There's no meat. What in the heck is it? I don't know. I'll pass. So he said more airplane and auto accidents will occur. Now, we saw a movie next. I wouldn't recommend it. But they're talking about how they hack cars and how they cause accidents and how they can all do it by computers and this new technology. And how scary. I turned it off. I said, I don't want to even see this. But it's going to cause more government regulations. A couple more. Food supplies will be centralized and come under tight control. We're starting to see this. With the second wave and the second lockdown coming, there's predicted food shortages as well. If population growth, he said, doesn't slow down, food shortages can be orchestrated to scare or starve people into accepting the theory of overpopulation. Personal gardens and perhaps small farms will be eliminated. Now, this was in 1969. And the last one, terrorism, he said, once thought unnecessary in the United States, will be used by necessity if the United States does not move rapidly enough into accepting the new system. If you don't believe that, go look up for yourself Georgia Guidestones. Now, if you don't do your own research, you're not going to come out of deception. Most people have not been trained to study. We have to study to show ourselves approved. Most people are just used to watching a video or listen to a preacher. I encourage you to do your own research and dig. It's from reading and reading a lot of books that I've come to the place that I am, that it's like an eagle. You can rise above what's happening because you see they tell what's coming in their books, in their predictive programming, in their movies, in their films. A lot of this stuff we're seeing, the Hunger Games, the Matrix, a lot of these different things, you can just see, wow, that wouldn't really be real. Well, we're starting to see that some of this stuff is predictive programming and things that are coming. So we as Christians, we don't want to be deceived, but we want to have true faith. We want to have faith in God, in His Word, not in some ministry or some prophetess or some glory cloud. There's so much weirdness, it's embarrassing to even say you're a Christian, because there's so much in His name. And even today, this guy saw this, says, I am Jesus. And I was just like, he said that that would happen. They'd come in his name. But remember, he also said, they're going to prophesy in my name. They're going to do this and this and this in my name. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. So if they were prophesying and casting out devils, saying they were, who are they operating from? What spirit are they operating from if he never knew them? So you have to know there's an infiltration going on. The Antichrist system has been around, and it continues. Jesus, when he walked the earth, it was a difficult time. He was persecuted. He suffered. And some of us have never even heard one message on suffering. Some of us are suffering now. We can't see the people we want to see. It's just the beginning of sorrows. So we have to gear up and know, read the parts of scriptures that you saw. You know, they were persecuted. It wasn't real famous to be a real believer. We've come from the Christianity's popular, it's famous. Well, if it's Christianity, it's never famous. True Christians and true Christianity will never be loved by this world. That's why he told us not to be lovers of this world. Have faith in God. Amen? Have faith in him, not in yourself. Father, we thank you for everything you said that is of you will not be shaken. So, Father, we want to be planted on those things that cannot be shaken. And your kingdom is not of this world. But we know this world is playing chess. It's playing chess with our minds. It's playing chess, doing things in secret, but playing a circus in front of our eyes to cause many people to get weary. But if we know what's going on, because we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we'll not be shaken in this hour of shaking. And for that, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Everyone said?
Amen.
I just want to add here at the end, in case I go down on YouTube, I don't know if this one will make it or not. I try to be careful with my words. But you can always find us on livinginhispresence.org, our own webpage, and we'll have things posted there. If YouTube does go down, a lot of people have been purged from there. So we're just trusting God every week, and I thank you so much for your help and support. And I need letters. We go to our P.O. box, and we look, did anyone write to us today? Just send us a line. We love hearing from you and where you're hearing from and what you're getting delivered from or what message helped you. We appreciate that so much. We enjoy reading them. I read them. Tim and I read them together. It's always encouraging. So thank you so much for helping us. I need your encouragement in this hour. This is kind of hard here in Minnesota. We're being locked down again. So thank you for your prayers.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.